Welcome to Ray and Tay today.
September's here and it's the end of the summer. Back to school or to work, for some it's a bummer. For others it's a new year and time to atone. Buy some new gear or a cell phone. Labor Day parade, what island is you from? I got my own float and I feel like number one. It's just raining, cats are just straining. But after the...
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. This is the last day in September, so we can't play that song for you next show.
That's it.
Incomplete, spitting his lines about September, a very special month for Mr. Tay of Ray and Tay.
Hey, for a lot of people, it really is sort of like the new year, though. We started all over, new season, back kids are back to school. Hey, September, man. Let's do it.
There you go. So you're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tal Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and thank you for joining the show. You want to join in, give us a ring, 718-664-9098. And like always, you can hit us up on the email. We'll get to some. We got a lot of fantasy emails, and just, you know, NFL fans are going crazy after a crazy week four and weekend. So hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com and check out the website. You know, we're updating it all the time. Some pretty interactive stuff at rayandtaytoday.com. And as always, we are on the social medias. So check us out on Twitter and Facebook at Ray and Tay Today. Ray, let them know how this really, really busy and sort of manic or major league when Monday is going to go down. Baseball, baby!
Yes, we've got a lot of breaking news. We have breaking news from the world of baseball, college sports. We'll take you through some NASCAR, NBA. So we'll get through the breaking news fast, and then we'll get into Major League Baseball. So we have a play-in game tonight, and then we have Major League Baseball starting this week. Woo! Exciting. We'll talk to you a little bit about that. Maybe we'll give you some predictions. We'll get into Saturday's games, college football games. We had a big weekend of college football. We'll go through that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we had NFL Week 4. It's not over yet, but we had most of NFL Week 4. We'll go through those five games we talked about on Friday's show. Then we'll transition to previewing tonight's game with the Dolphins visiting the New Orleans Saints. Who would have thought that this would be a matchup of two 3-0 teams? One of these teams is going to join our list of 4-0 teams. Then, by popular demand, we'll bring you our segment, Yo, That's My Guy. And Ray and Tay will bring you one guy that we want to promote on the show and give him his props. Then we'll end the show with a quick preview of the Thursday night football game of the suddenly resurgent Buffalo Bills going to the I'm not dead after I traded my best player, Cleveland Browns.
Hey, so, good for Cleveland in the dog pound, right? Great sports town. They got the Indians, the Browns. Good for them.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about it. So let's get into it. Let's jump
well,
right into
listen,
the break.
Well, listen, you know I gotta give my props to my guy. You could give him the standings, but I'm gonna give him the winner, Jimmy Johnson. Listen, he's you know doing his thing. He wanted Dover. You know, congrats to him. Dale Earnhardt was you know right behind him. Then you've got who is this? Joey Logano and Jeff Gordon. So Kyle Busch is right there at fifth. And if you want to know about the standings, because you still got Kevin Harvick in there and our boy Matt Kenseth, who's, I think, is he still leading, Ray? Because he came in seventh,
Matt
so he had a good top ten finish.
Matt Kenseth is leading. Jimmy Johnson second, 8 points behind. Kyle Busch is 12 points behind. So they're really, those three are really
neck and neck.
And then right behind them is Kevin Harvick, Jeff Gordon, and Greg Biffle round out the top six. So
it's coming down, yeah.
It's close. It's close. It's not a Jimmy Johnson runaway, but you know what? Jimmy, oh, I'm scared of Jimmy Johnson, right?
He's the NASCAR GOAT right now. I gotta give him his props with that. So, you know, it's one of those things where you just, you know, NASCAR is great, but just like golf and NASCAR and all sports sort of have their playoffs. Well, the Sprint Cup race is one of those things that you got to get excited about, because you have an opportunity once you're in, you know, to get in and win. And Jimmy has done it better than most. So, hey,
so
we'll give him credit.
Let's keep it going. Let's get into the quick baseball news. Dale Swain was fired, the coach of the Cubs.
Had to go.
And what's that?
He had to go.
Yeah. It's a cleaning house. And just hot off the presses right now, it looks like Nelson Cruz is back in the lineup as the DH against the Rays. So I'm sure
as he should be. As he should be. You're going up against David Price. You gotta have your bats, right? Off the 50-game suspension. And they almost didn't make the playoffs because they didn't have him, and they needed him in the lineup. So let's see how a rusty Nelson Cruz does tonight. We'll talk about that when we get more into the baseball segment. Real quick, going around the NFL. So some of the news, Sanchez is going to have season-ending surgery. So on that shoulder, the labrum, I guess, you know, listen, if it's torn, you can't rehab it enough to play, and it's affecting him enough, you know, so that's sort of there. And then Vince Wilfork for the Patriots, out for the season. That's got to hurt, even though they're 4-0. That's got to hurt the defense, and, you know, hopefully Kelly will help up front, but that hurts the Patriots for what they want to do, what Belichick likes to design, but you know he'll design something new. And then you've got Locker, Jake Locker, who Ray's been hating on in 3-1 Titans. We got to give him some love. So Ryan Fitzpatrick takes over. He's out about 4 to 8 weeks, so we'll see how hopefully he heals and it's closer to the four. But the Titans have a grueling schedule coming up with, like, Seattle, San Francisco, KC. So let's see how the Titans at 3-1, how they, you know, go out from there. And
yeah.
Dwight Freeney. Did you see that? Dwight Freeney suffered torn quad. So we'll see. I don't know if he's done for the season, but we'll see what happens with him. And what happened at LAX? I heard there were some big things, man. Can you let us know what's going on at LAX?
Wow.
God, this is
imagine
brutal.
This. You go to a road trip. Now, granted, you didn't have a great game, but you come back from Arizona and you get fired. Pat Hayden, your AD, calls you and you get fired at LAX. So that is the story of Lane Kiffin, and the son of Monty Kiffin, who was a highly touted assistant for Pete Carroll that went up to the – flirted with the NFL a little bit, came back through Tennessee, and then made it back to USC, and he got
fired.
Don't
you think Lane lost the team?
He did.
I mean, there's been a lot going on.
They were calling for him to be fired for a while now. So Ed Orgeron is taking over on a temporary basis. It's hard to fire your coach midseason. It's usually never done, but it was done in this case. So he's gone, and look, you know, the problem is that the bar was set so high under the Pete Carroll regime that now USC can't – they don't want to stand for this, you know, mediocrity that they've been having the last few years. So that's a big deal. But
they'll get a good coach
in
there.
They'll get one, and it looks a very attractive job, L.A. and at USC, and they got a big budget, and they're a top-five program perennially, so they'll be fine. I mean, they definitely won't have lack of candidates. But I think that, you know, the next sport we need to transition to real fast, is basketball. So Coach Woodson for the Knicks, they pick up his option
for
the 14 season, and the NBA is thinking about converting the finals back to what it used to be before 85 and going with a 2-2-1-1-1 format instead of the 2-3-2 format. So
I'm happy
they put
with
it in
that.
Place because Boston and L.A. were playing each other in the 80s, and those were cross-country flights, and they've stuck with it ever since for 19 years. So they're gonna change that.
The 232, like we, I said to you off air, and I just truly believe it, and you've seen it play out over the years, the 232 for the road team, it's very hard to win those three games at home in a row because the, you know, the home seed, when they're three in a row on the road, they start to get used to it. So they usually pull out one of those games, you know, and I just think, you gotta have 2-2, 1-1-1. It's just, I think it's more balanced and it gives you more game sevens, I believe.
Yeah, the only fear is that you have what happens if you have a Seattle, if they get a team back, but like a Portland, Miami, you know, finals where you got to cross the country five times for the, you know, for the seven game series. But aside from that, I agree. If every other series is 2-2, 1-1-1, then this one should be that way too. It just makes for a better series. Plus, the NBA wants to encourage getting to game sevens because it helps with TV ratings and it helps with, you know, just creating some buzz for the game and for the series. So
yeah.
I think this, if you have the game six at the lower rated team, their home court, then it's more likely that they'll win. So we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully this kicks in and no big deal, and hopefully we get some more game sevens like we had this year. That'd be very exciting.
Well, remember now, though, the NBA schedule is more spread out, so I think it'll work. It'll definitely work. So are you ready to jump into some MLB? MLB playoff talk?
I'm not ready for the playoffs. I'm ready for game 163.
Are you ready for game 163, which is still a tiebreaker and not officially the playoffs, but we're going to say it's the playoffs? Look, the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, the Rays and Rangers, you got to believe the better pitcher. I think David Price is a horse. You know, I mean, look, he's like 6-2 since July. He's a winner, but I don't think he's been so great in the playoffs. So that's the question. And then, you know, Nelson Cruz coming back. I don't know. What do you thought? Now, who is Darvish going for the Rangers, or who are they throwing out there?
Perez. So Price and Perez. Yeah. So here's the philosophy. This is a play-in game, and then the winner of this game has to then go play Cleveland in Cleveland on Wednesday for a one-game playoff, and then the winner of that goes to Boston. So this is not easy, and I can't.
Yeah.
Look, you got to win every game that's in front of you, but this is tough on the manager, right? Who do you throw out there? But I like the Rays. I think their lineup is tough, and I think behind David Price in a short series, basically in a one-game series, I like David Price. I really do. I think the Rays, even though this game is in Texas and Nelson Cruz is back, I think
plus the Rays have better pitching overall.
This kid Perez is nice. Martin Perez.
No, he can pitch.
And, you know, he was 10-5 this year, so he's no slouch. But I like David Price. I like David Price as a guy who's been there before. And just this notion of one game on the road, right, complete focus on this game.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it sort of how the way the Rangers, granted, they won their last game and all the teams, you know, won, as you said, nobody backed in. But let me ask you this. Are they sort of going to be hyped up and rejuvenated because Nelson Cruz is back, or sort of like the last 15, 20 games, their bats have been a little cold, they've been inconsistent? Will that continue even though they're at home? So that's the question. Does Nelson Cruz sort of change their fortunes, and can they win this and then go on to Cleveland and win, or are the Rangers just done tonight?
I think the Rangers are done tonight. Look, Alex Rios did a very nice job substituting for Nelson Cruz. So the drop-off between Nelson Cruz and Alex Rios wasn't that great. It was that everybody else couldn't hit. So in terms of the Giants, the Rangers just went into a funk. And I don't know that Nelson Cruz, coming off of his 50-game suspension, is going to immediately be able to contribute. And again, against David Price, I'm putting my chips on David Price. So I like the Rays in this game. I like the Rays in the low-scoring game.
I like the Rays, too.
Longoria,
but so then let's go on as we talk about and sort of kind of preview the MLB playoffs. So let's say who we think will win in the wild card game between the Rays at the Indians. Let's say if the Rays do win out.
Woo!
In Cleveland.
In Cleveland, and you won't have David Price for the first few games of the series. Right?
Well, this is a one-game series. Yeah.
Right. The one-game series with the Indians, you won't have David Price. But I basically gave my answer, right? I actually think that the Twins.
The Rays
are going to have momentum, and they're going to beat the Indians. So I'm actually picking the Rays to win two on the road.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the Indians. I am a believer now, and I think what the Indians are doing, it's not only magical, but there's something about with baseball with momentum and destiny. And I really saw it last year with that Cardinal team. And, you know, when the momentum, you know, goes on, or the year before the Cardinal team, last year with the Giant team, when people didn't think the Giants could do it. But both of those teams sort of had that momentum. And so I'm going to definitely take the Indians. I think Terry Francona knows how to push the right buttons. He's in the playoffs for a reason. And I think that they will win to advance to Boston, and that's where it stops. So let's look at the NL. The Reds hit the Pirates. What are we thinking with that wild card? Because that's a classic, and the Pirates just were beating up on them in the last series.
I know. It's in Pittsburgh. And so I actually am riding the magic wave. I think Pittsburgh is going to take care of business at home. They're going to win this game and go into a full-fledged series. I like Pittsburgh. Yeah, they're all close games, but I like my Pirates. I like my Pirates to get into a playoff, to get into a real playoff series.
Now, let's break that down. I agree. I like the Pirates. I think, you know, they made so many moves, and I love Bird, and I love McCutcheon. I just think, you know, Alvarez, they're tough. They're scrappy. I went with the Reds early on in the season, but I just, you know, looking at, you know, I can't just stick with my picks. I got to look at what's happening and what's going on. And I think the Reds have been on more of a downswing lately. They still played, you know, decent ball, but I just think the Pirates are just hot, and so I got to go with the Pirates.
Well, also and think I guess that you got a pitching matchup of Cueto against Liriano, and Cueto is
Liriano's
coming back. Liriano's been there all year.
I don't think he's there yet. I don't think he's fully healthy yet.
But yeah, Cueto's not back fully. He had the one nice outing, his first outing back. I think that he's still a little bit rusty. So, again, at home, I like Francisco Liriano, and I like the Pirates.
Yeah. No, Liriano, to me, he's the type that can give you the seven, eight innings if you need it, and I just think he'll pull that out. So I like the Pirates. And then if they win, the Pirates will go to St. Louis. And that one's a toss-up to me. You know, but we'll predict the next rounds as they go on. But I think, you know, and then obviously we got to mention, you know, the Dodgers at Braves. You know, I guess we could sort of predict that Friday. Or you want to just shoot it out now, or you want to wait?
Well,
wait till the wild cards go.
So you got Kershaw and Medlin. That's a great matchup.
That's a great match.
That should be the NLCS, really. So the question is, can the Dodgers continue their momentum and go into the, you know, go deep in the playoffs? And I actually think that they can, because I think their 1-2-3 of Kershaw, Greinke, and Ryu is about as good as it gets. And if they can hit, so if they're, you know, and Hanley Ramirez is really the guy, everybody talks about Yasiel Puig, but it was Hanley Ramirez really that really put this team over the hump in addition to Puig. So you get a few table setters on, and you get Ramirez and Puig and Gonzalez in the middle of that lineup. I think that the Dodgers are tough with that starting rotation. And they got Kenley Jansen at the end. If they can get a long start out of their starters, right, and they don't have some, you know, exposure in that middle relief, then I think that the Dodgers win this series.
I just think the Braves have been in a bad place, not just with the, you know, picking fights and getting all crazy and carried away, but I think that they, you know, at one point had the best record. The best record, you know, was a tie between St. Louis and the Red Sox at 97 and 65. the Braves lost a lot of momentum. You know, once they had the injury, I think that sort of affected the team. And I just don't think when they come up with against the Dodgers, and of course, momentum is the next day starting pitcher. Well, I think they go in there and steal game one with Clayton on the mound. And I just think that gives the Dodgers the momentum. I really do.
Yeah, and if you look at it, the matchup, right, is Kershaw, Medlin in game one, and then Greinke, Minor in game two, and then Tehran against Ryu back in L.A. So I got to think that the Dodgers feel
like
pretty good
about their
starting pitchers.
I think they should, you know. I mean, I love that Game 3 matchup. So if they could even split, you know, and then go into Game 3, that's real nice. So we'll see how that works out. And then looking at the AL, you got Detroit Tigers at the Athletics. So that's the other series that we already know that's set, divisional. For me, you know, hey, I'll say it again. You know, Bob Brenly on our baseball preview, he said it. Bob Melvin, who probably – if he's not 1A or number one, you know, could be easily coach of the year. You know, it's one of those things for me where I just think the Athletics, I think that they're so deep and they're so, you know, they just scrap runs. I don't think this is a Tigers year where I thought it could have been. The Tigers' bats have been pretty cold. I mean, you know, Cabrera was 2-for-4 in the last game, but in the series, they scored like 3 runs in their last series. I think momentum is going to get them and bite them in the butt. And I think the Tigers are going to lose to the A's.
Really?
I think the A's are going to pull this series out. I don't know what it is. I think that they're going to do it. Now, of course, you're going to, you know, deal with Scherzer and
Verlander are, but you know, Max Scherzer, who's going to win Cy Young, is their number two pitcher, and
exactly.
He's going up against Parker on Saturday, and on Friday it's going to be Verlander against Bartolo Colon, who's had a great, unbelievable season. So
yeah, I'm telling you, I think the A's can do it.
I'm going against the grain. Although, you know, Oakland's the home team here, right? Oakland's got the home field advantage in this series, and Oakland plays tough at home. And you know, they can pitch, and they have some timely hitting. So, I tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if this went 6 or 7. But I think the Tigers are going to pull it out.
Okay. All right. So, well, you know, we'll get to the other series when they sort of play out. I think those are going to be pretty amazing, whether it's the Indians at Red Sox or, you know, the Pirates of Reds at St. Louis. You know, you just got to stay tuned. It's going to be exciting. And you know what's great about the playoffs in baseball? You're sitting on your sofa, your chair, your couch, bar stool, but it's every pitch. And I think that's what's so fantastic about the sport, because it's truly every single pitch. You're like, wow. Because baseball, when it's, you know, 9 innings and it's do or die like it is, you know, like tonight, you can't miss that game. You got to watch. You know, you got to watch a little bit of Dolphins, you know, Dolphins and Saints, 2-3-0 teams, great game. New Orleans, you know, the Sean Payton's back. But you got to watch Rays at Rangers, too. So it's one of those TV nights where you're like, ah, a lot going on. And speaking of a lot going on, let's
picture
talk.
Picture, baby.
Let's talk. I know. That's Ray's favorite. He pips it out, baby. Picture in picture. Let's talk about what you needed on Saturday, picture in picture, with all the great college football games. We talked about the 4 ranked matchups. You know, Alabama, what they did is basically, I didn't think, I said it would be a close game. But I do have Bama winning it all, running the table. And they showed me, and I think they showed Ray, when they put the clamps on with that defense, they embarrassed Ole Miss 25-0. And they didn't even play a great offensive game. But defensively, it's as good as it gets. They took it to Ole Miss.
That's the 21st best team in the country, right? They didn't take a high school team and have a warm-up or a whatever they're calling it now, FBS,
And nobody shuts anybody out in college football when it's like, you know, ranked teams. I mean, we can go through those other games, Wisconsin, OSU, and, I mean, Ohio State. And, you know, we saw the classic with LSU and Georgia, 44-41. I mean, that's ridiculous. So, you know, you got to understand what Bama did was no joke. That was no joke. They're number one, 55 votes, Oregon with 5 votes in the AP, number two. Ohio's Clemson, Taj Boyd, I mean, you know, but there's not much to say about what he's doing. I think to me he's the leader right now in the Heisman, Taj Boyd. Ohio State 4, Stanford, very impressive at 5, Georgia 6. Louisville, you know I'm down with Teddy Bridgewater at 7. You got 8, Florida State. Your guy and the team that I think is going to get taken down next week. We'll get into that. Number 9, Texas A&M, and number 10, LSU. Now, some people have some complaints. What do you think about LSU being ahead of Oklahoma and UCLA, teams like that? The SEC sort of, you know.
Yeah, giving the SEC a little too much love because A&M and LSU both have one loss. And then
even South
Oklahoma,
Carolina.
UCLA,
even South Carolina at 13.
South Carolina, right? Miami,
ahead of Miami.
Oklahoma, UCLA, Miami, Florida, Washington, Northwestern are all 4-0.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Even Michigan is 4-0, but they had a week. I mean, they almost lost to Akron. Look,
yeah.
A, I don't worry about it too much because
yeah.
We're really
it will
only
play itself out.
4 weeks or 5 weeks, depending on how many games you've played in the college season. But B, all the love that the SEC gets, they deserve. The SEC is that big a deal, and they're that good, and they're that much better than everybody else. And so is it a little bit unfair? Maybe, because you have to earn it on the field, sure, but the quality of their competition and the quality of their league is so much better than the quality of your league that you just need to shut up and just let them get their due. But here's my thing. I think they're going to play each other and they're going to beat each other. So I think Georgia, who lost to Clemson, is going to take out – they took out LSU, and they're going to take out another team or two, and maybe even LSU can take somebody out. So I even think Alabama's going to lose eventually to an SEC team.
Not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, well, see.
Wait, but this is interesting what you just said. I want to build off that because about your opponent and playing quality opponents and the conference. Giving the ACC some love and what happened, what West Virginia did to Oklahoma State at 11 – and Oklahoma State, you know, drops down to 21. The week before, West Virginia was shut out 37-0 by my alma mater, the Maryland Terrapins, who were idle. But because of what they did to an opponent the week before, and that opponent goes and smacks the number 11 team, they are now in the AP top 25. And number 25... Maryland Terrapins, yo, Terps, everybody, stand up. ACC, yo, Maryland, yo, South Campus, Knox Road, everybody stand up. La Plata, Cumberland. Oh, my gosh. Can I tell you, they're going crazy on Twitter. Everybody's hyped up. I'm hearing from everybody at the school. Maryland Terrapins are ranked. And this week, they're going to play against your boy, Famous Jameis, and upset Florida State. But we'll talk about that on Friday.
Okay.
Ooh, I'm hyped, baby. I'm hyped. You gotta
right,
love
let's,
it.
Let's keep that hype going, and let's transition from Saturday to Sunday. Let's talk about week 4 in the NFL, where we saw some interesting things. We saw some – it was like the good, bad, and the ugly, right? We saw some bad things, and we saw some ugly. So
– it was bizarre. But, honey, before we review that game, just a quick synopsis. I got to get this from you. After tonight, there'll be 4 5-0 teams. You know, the Bears got knocked out, and we'll talk about that game. So right now, before this night, there's 4 4-0 teams. Out of the Seahawks, Chiefs, Patriots, and Broncos, who is the most impressive team to you?
So I'm not saying they're the best, but I'm
right.
saying the most impressive to me was – I mean, the obvious answer is Denver Broncos because they're just running everybody out of the stadium without Von Miller and Champ Bailey.
Yeah,
so
it's incredible.
They're unbelievable, but I didn't expect them not to be unbelievable, right? So I expected them to go, what, 12-4, so maybe they'll go 13-3, maybe they'll go 14-2, who knows? So yes, they're awesome, but we expected them to be awesome. The Kansas City Chiefs, on the other hand, I have to personally start drafting my apology letter because I didn't think they were even going to be in playoff contention, let alone, I think they'd be 7-9, something like that, but they're 4-0. And granted, they were, you know, they're not blowing anybody out, but they took a pretty desperate Giant team and put it on them.
And, you know what it is? It's a coach and a quarterback, right? You connect your coaches with your quarterbacks, Brady, Belichick, you know, all these different coaches and quarterbacks. Andy Reid was with McNabb before. Well, Andy Reid and Alex Smith, you could talk about comeback player of the year there and coach of the year, where I thought it might be Cutler and Trestman, and still could be. But, I mean, give props to Andy Reid and Alex Smith, who he's more than just a game manager. He's smart, man. When he has to run and he got some clutch first downs. He keeps moving the chains. He really does.
He is an example also of a guy that, kudos to him, really
never
came
gave
into
up on
his
himself.
Own in his sixth or seventh year in the NFL, right? He was a number one overall pick. It was between he and Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers fell all the way down to, 21 or something like that, where the Packers took him.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Smith really had a bad, let's be honest, for a number one overall pick, had a very disappointing first 5 years of his career. Now, he did have changing offenses and changing head coaches, and that was a bit of a circus
of change,
out there in San Francisco before it got stabilized. But you know what? He also didn't play up to his potential and where they thought they projected him coming out of Utah, you know, running that crazy Urban Meyer offense. So good for him. Good for him to go to another team and lead that team to 4-0. Again, I have questions about them in terms of, you know, are they a real legit playoff contender and are they an elite team in the NFL? But put that aside. They're 4-0. You beat who's on your schedule. And this team is legit, and they don't beat themselves. That's the thing. That's the beauty of this kind of team is you have to go out and beat them. They won't give you 3-4 turnovers. You have to beat them.
Yeah, and I think that's what's key about it, right? They earn their wins. So, look, we'll get into it even a little bit more. Let's talk about Sunday Night Football. I mean, first of all, they always get the best games, right? I mean, they've got some.
Well, they paid $800 million for it. They better get.
No, I'm not knocking it. I think it's great for the fans, and it's a lot of fun, and so I love it. But I'm telling you, this Falcon team, Gonzalez, who was a beast last night, 12 for 149, a touchdown, incredible. But the Patriots, Brady, and these young receivers. When you see Kimbrough Tompkins catching like that bomb that he caught in double coverage, it's just ridiculous. They said it reminded you of Chad Johnson. No, he reminded me of Randy Moss because he was gone and just like boom, catching double teams like it was nothing. They win 30-23. I think Mike Smith made a big mistake. I know that you're trying to score points early on and you feel like you got to outscore Brady. But at the same time, you got to put points on the board. That 4th-and-2 going for it, Matt Ryan throws it out of bounds. It was horrible. And they could have been 7-6 losing. Instead, it was 7-3. Well, it came back in the end to sort of bite them in the bullet. And I just think the Patriots' defense, even though Wilfork missed most of the game and is going to be out for the season, they play good enough. They're linebackers and secondary. And Aqib Talib, he's going to be up there for Defensive Player of the Year this year, the way he's playing. He's locking down Roddy White, Julio Jones, whoever they put him on. He's one-on-one, and he's doing the Revis, and he's doing the Richard Sherman. So those are probably the top three corners in the NFL right now. You could throw Peanut Tillman in that conversation, too, or Jennings on the Bears. But I was impressed. I mean, tell me, are you feeling that, you know, Bolden got hurt, but with LeGarrette Blunt, hello.
Oh, my God, did you see that
from
run?
Oregon, that
oh
run was
God.
Just – and if they can run the ball like that, they're actually more dangerous because Gronk will be back, Amendola will be back, and then these two young kids and Julian Edelman with a running game? Oh, come on. It's 4-0 Patriots. They put it to the Falcons. It was
look, they're 4-0, but they're not – you know, they had a shaky couple games against Buffalo and against the Jets in the rain in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not exactly blowing anybody away. But Belichick
right.
teaches the system, right? And they do whatever it takes to win. And, you know, you slot in Kembrell Tompkins and Julian Edelman and Zach Sudfeld and now LeGarrette Blunt. By the way, where's Stephen Ridley? Because I have him on my
fantasy. He's killing me
on
fantasy. Don't
just,
even talk about it.
So we'll put that aside.
Wait. What about your boy Mulligan with the touchdown? I'm like, that doesn't help me. Who's got Mulligan?
That's a Mulligan. All you golfers out there, keep your boy Mulligan in mind when he scores his touchdowns. But here's my thing. You knew that the Patriots, when Brady and Belichick are on the field, they give you a chance to win, no matter who the surrounding cast is. So I'm less impressed by their 4-0. I'm more disappointed by Atlanta's 1-3 because these guys have the chance to be a Super Bowl contender year in and year out. And I don't know if they just assumed that the regular season doesn't mean anything, and because they were 12-4 and 13-3 last couple of years, that they'll just show up and it's all about winning three games in the playoffs. Or if they, you know, if they got complacent, or just maybe they're banged up and Roddy White's injury and Julio Jones and you know, Tony Gonzalez can't really get any separation. I mean, they're throwing. Did you see he's throwing the ball into double coverage? Tony Gonzalez just out muscling people for the ball.
Yeah. Tony doesn't have the speed that he had when he was younger, but he's still so talented.
No, but what I'm saying
is Roddy White though. Roddy White's is hurting him, I think.
Yeah, he's not healthy. So then play Douglas Moore. Get creative on offense. You know, maybe Steven Jackson is the guy that they built too much around because, you know, Jacquizz Rodgers and Snelling are okay, but where's the offensive creativity? Where's the, you know, critical first down when you need it? Again, it just seemed like they were just forcing the ball into White and into, you know, Julio Jones and into Tony Gonzalez. Now, they made great
plays.
Were
you surprised, though, they went to Roddy White? Were you surprised they went
on
to Roddy White the
last
play? I was kind of shocked.
I'm like,
how do you not go to Julio?
I was.
They weren't letting whatchamacallit off the line, so they didn't let Gonzalez off the line.
I think Tony Gonzalez was double-teamed. I think Julio Jones was double-teamed, too.
You got to go, Julio.
I don't know. I think he was double-teamed. But the point is that this Atlanta team is now, I got to think that we'll talk about it, but I think that New Orleans wins this game. New Orleans goes to 4-0, and Atlanta's 1-3. And it's hard to win the division when you're already three games behind.
Yeah, so, I think it's going to be really hard. So, look, let's go on real quick. I mean, there's not much to say. Denver hosted Philly. Your boy Brock Osweiler played, so I think that just sums it up. I mean, you know, we could go through all the stats. Look, he throws to everybody. All you need to know is 4 touchdown passes, 16 for the season, 0 interceptions. I mean, I don't know. That is MVP. You picked it. You called it early on in the season. That was your pick for MVP. And what he's doing is almost making, I don't want to say a mockery of the game, but he's just so amazing. I mean, you know, he's more than impressive. He's the sheriff, as Gruden says.
It just
Peyton
tells
Manning.
You, too, that a guy that has that much cerebral understanding of the game, if you get him that second year with all of his receivers, and kudos to Denver for assembling that, you know, going out and drafting Demaryius Thomas, and then this Julius Thomas kid shows up, and Eric Decker, and trading for Wes Welker. I mean, these guys are just, and then Hillman and Moreno in the backfield, and Monty Ball doesn't even get off the bench. So they just
too
have
many fumbles
offensive juggernaut.
Yeah.
They lose their left tackle, Ryan Clady, so what? Doesn't skip a beat. It might hurt them in a close playoff game, yet to be determined. But right now, these guys are just unbelievable.
So let me ask you a quick question about the Eagles and Chip Kelly. Is it they just don't have the defense? See, this is the concern, and I told this to Cowboy Killers, our Cowboy, our big Eagle fan in our fantasy football league, Scott. I said, you guys are you have the sort of 3-4 talent trying to play a 4-3, and those linebackers, I don't know if Connor Barwin and the different guys and having Trent Cole switching him, I don't know if they – it doesn't seem like they're in the right position. I don't know what's wrong, but they're not – they rebuilt the whole secondary, which has been struggling. I just don't think the Eagles – I think what Chip Kelly wants to do is still a year or two away, I think, if we're being honest. That, I mean, that's my assessment of – And look, I think the offense is not bad, right? McCoy is, you know, talented. The receivers, you know, but they need a real number one receiver. I think DeSean Jackson, and I hate to say it, I think he's honestly a number two receiver. And they miss Macklin. Let's just say it. I mean, Cooper doesn't beat anyone one on one. So Riley Cooper to me is a three or a four. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
Jerry
so
Macklin's
it's
not
hard.
Really a number one either. But I think if you run out there with Macklin and Jackson together. You have no problems with those two together as a tandem. Look, Philly experiment is still TBD, but if you can't stop anybody and, you know, your high-tempo offense, if you don't get first downs, that means your defense is on the field all the time. So that's another thing you got to worry about is, you know, part of the way you cover up for a bad defense is long, drawn-out possessions. That's not Chip Kelly. That's not the way his offense is constructed. And if you were to go three and out, or if you were to go even get a first down, but you run, you know, four, five, six plays in a minute and a half, you didn't give your defense any rest. So you're not doing them any favors. So scoring points is great, but if you don't score enough or if you don't give your defense a rest, it could be an issue down the road. But the bottom line for that NFC East, though, is that Dallas Cowboys lead that division at 2-0. And then Washington and Philly are 1-3, and the Giants are 0-2.
2-2.
Now,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So, but the point is, take the Giants. The worst team in that division is 0-4. They're only two games back.
Yep,
they're only
still
two
alive.
Games back, so they still have a chance to win the thing. So the NFC East,
and they're getting killed by the AFC West. You know, the AFC West is already 7-1 against the NFC East. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
And it's only because the Redskins almost luckily beat the Raiders without Pryor. If Pryor was there instead of Flynn, could have been a different story.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's keep it moving.
Let's keep it in the West with the Seattle Seahawks going to the Houston Texans.
Great game.
I predicted the Texans
Great
win
game.
This game.
I went with Seattle. I told you. You know what it is with them? Look, Schaub had the stats. You know, he's throwing it around. But that turnover and Shurmur is – and what they're doing is Seattle wins on the road now. They're winning ugly. They win blowing people out. They're showing that they can win every way. And honestly, if Percy Harvin, whether he comes back week 7 or week 12, if they get Harvin into this offense with Tate, with Baldwin, with Sidney Rice, and the way that they run the ball with Lynch, you're not going to be able to beat Seattle. And the Niners will struggle if they don't have, you know, Crabtree and Manningham back. Because I'm telling you, Seattle, if they get enough of a lead and get that home field, no one's going into Seattle and winning. That was an awesome win. Russell Wilson had ugly stats, but guess what? He moved the chains. Ah, incredible win. Incredible.
Could you imagine Broncos Seahawks at MetLife Stadium?
Oh, gosh, what a Super Bowl. I mean, fans, they don't listen, this kid is the truth. 5'10.5", Russell Wilson, for all of us, you know, shorter guys under 6 feet, he is our hero. Everybody stand up, you know what I'm saying? So I love the kid. I think he's clutch, he's a winner, and, you know, hey. And Schaub is going to get run out of Texas. I think they're going to scream for T.J. Yates. I really do.
Wow. He had a little bit of success a couple years ago and even won a playoff game. So let's really quickly go through Giants and KC. I don't know that there's that much to say that we haven't said
Victor
already.
Victor Cruz and nothing else.
Victor
Cruz and nothing else. It's sad. I think it's sad, and I think I don't know what Darrell Scott. I think he had fumbled. Wilson had a couple, 55 yards. I mean, look, it's not about the numbers with the Giants, but I think the injuries, and we said it before the season. You know, Stevie Brown in the back end, and then Deal, and the line seems out of rhythm, and guys aren't. But I think it's the defensive line. They're getting zero pressure on quarterbacks. So Tuck and Pierre Paul, they're not – I mean, nobody's playing ball up there. They miss Chris Canty quite as Kep, who's with the Ravens now. I think the Giants are in for a rough season. That's why I predicted it. I went with the Giants. You had I went with KC. You had the Giants thinking they could pull one out. But I got to tell you, it's looking ugly. And I don't know. I forgot who they're playing next week.
The only saving grace for the Giants is that they're 0-2 and they're two games out of the lead. I mean, 0-4 and they're two games out of first place. So when was the last time an 0-4 team could say that? So Giants are in trouble. They definitely are in trouble. Now they host Philly next week, so that's a big game, because if the Giants lose, they're 0-5. But if they win, they put another loss on Philly, and at the very least, if the Cowboys were to lose, they would catch up and only be one game behind the Cowboys. So. No.
As far as winning the division, and someone could win that division 8-8, 9-7 again. So you're right about that, but oof, Giants are rough. So let's look at the game that Ray got. No heads. I mean, without question, they put up a 40 burger. The Lions at home, they look good. No one knew Reggie Bush would do that to the Bears, but I mean, I got to say, if Reggie Bush and Joique Bell are going to run like this, and they can get a, you know, they had actually finally he shows up. Fantasy people were probably sick because they probably benched him. Brandon Pettigrew, who drops everything, finally woke up, had a big game at tight end. And if, you know, you find other people to help Calvin Johnson, watch out for the Lions, because Stafford seems like he's starting to get into a place where he's not making the bonehead turnover like Schaub did. And that defensive line, Fairley and Sue, they're getting, Cliff Averill, they're getting after it, baby. They are getting after a big win for the Lions in the division.
Yeah, I like this Lions team. I think they're legit. I think they are had a hiccup last year, but I think now they're going to be hungry. And look, the Vikings are vulnerable. They beat the Bears, and even the Packers, you know, have some questions, serious questions on defense. So if I'm the Lions, I'm thinking, look, this is our time to step up and let's shoot to take this division. So. Lions impressed me. I think I leaned a little bit more consistency from them on defense. But you're right. If they can run the ball, then their offense looks, you know, could potentially be big time. Now, losing Nate Burleson is a big deal for them, especially because Ryan Broyles isn't back from his, you know, totally back from his ACL, you know, second knee surgery. So their second receiver is still an issue. But if Pettigrew can catch the ball and they can run, you always have Megatron and Matt Stafford back there. So I like this Lions team.
Yeah, no, it's easy to like them. So, all right, I got to ask you this, though. Before we get into our segment and before we get into Monday night, we got to do that first. Two questions. What's up with my Steelers? I'll say this. I don't think the Steelers and Giants are in the same league as Buccaneers, Jaguars, maybe potentially Rams and Raiders. But I will say this. We are definitely in that top six of worst teams the way we're playing right now.
Wow.
The Steelers lose to Minnesota, and the Giants are right there. I mean, you can't deny it. I mean, record says that the Giants and Steelers are the, you know, worst four or five, six teams in the NFL, both of them at 0-4. Look, we played good against Minnesota, but when you let Castle rip you up and chew you up and you're trying to come back and you just don't have enough time and you lose 34-27, Ben fumbles, gets sacked or whatever, yeah, we do some nice things. Le'Veon Bell's back. Two touchdowns was kind of huge, not too much on the yardage. But I just think our defense, our secondary is old. I think Ryan Clark and Troy Polamalu got old fast. I do like we drafted young guys, you know, our boy Jarvis Jones and Shamarco Thomas, but I'm hurting as a Steeler fan. I'm just hurting. And then let's talk about Ray's Cowboys real quick. He said it all year, they'll win one, lose one. You break down. What happened? How did San Diego just light you up?
20 unanswered in the second half. So Monty Kiffin and his defense basically was shredded in the second half. They didn't have an answer for Antonio Gates. They didn't know how to cover Danny Woodhead. They put a linebacker on him most of the time, and he made the linebackers look silly. But the Cowboys, like I said, are a win-one, lose-one kind of team, so they might win the division. They might miss the playoffs, but either way, their record will be around 8-8, give or take a game. So they are that kind of inconsistent team, and it's so frustrating, but this has been the Cowboy formula for the last, you know, ever since the end of the Jimmy Johnson era. So
yeah.
Can't say it's anything new. In terms of the Steelers, I keep thinking that they're going to flip the switch, but maybe loss of some talent. That
you know what tells you that they won't? The offensive
defense.
The injury. We lost our best offensive lineman and the one who drives it. I think they miss Pouncey too much. And they might miss Mike Wallace, quiet as kept.
Yeah, well,
but Heath Miller's warming up.
All right.
So tonight, let's talk about Monday Night Football.
Let's talk about some good teams. Let's talk about some undefeated teams.
Hank's Dolphins, look, at the Saints, 3-0, 3-0. Look, I said this in the beginning of the season. I really thought the Saints would, you know, shine and win the division. Sean Payton's back. They're looking good. I just think at the end of the day, without Cameron Wake, he's not going to go. I think the Saints are going to be too much at home for the Dolphins. But I think this Dolphin team is for real. The only way they win this is they can somehow pick off Breeze, and Breeze just doesn't make too many mistakes. They'd have to get a lot of turnovers and get to the quarterback. I see Jimmy Graham, Sproles, Colston. I just think, and blitzing the Saints, maybe they can confuse, Rob Ryan can confuse Tannehill. I got the Saints winning this one 30-20. I think they're going to score a lot.
Okay. I like the Saints to win this game 34-20. I think that they blow the Dolphins out. Unfortunately for the Dolphins, they are a very what looks to be a solid team. And so with Miller running and Hartline and, you know, Tannehill spreading the ball around, they just can't score enough. I think that this Saints team can give you between 28 and 35 points on any given Sunday or Monday in this case, and they'll put up that amount today. I just don't see the Dolphins being able to contend in a shootout. So as much as they try to hold them down, maybe they'll hold them to 30. Like you say, I think it'll be more like mid-30s, maybe even higher. I just don't think that the Dolphins can score enough.
Okay. So look, we got to bring it back. We got to talk about it. Our segment, yo, that's my guy. And for me, I'm going to go first, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going with somebody who maybe he was forgotten about. You know, we got the legend in Gonzalez. We got the young tight ends in Gronkowski and, you know, Hernandez has issues. He's gone. Jimmy Graham, and people have been talking about this young beast of a kid at Cleveland, Jordan Cameron, and rightfully so. A lot of good guys. People were hyping up even Brandon Myers. But for me, He's not injured, no ankle, no feet, no toes. It's Antonio Gates. 10 receptions, 136 yards, so he was right on Gonzalez's tail. 13.6 per reception, a touchdown. He dominated the Cowboys, and he was huge in the win. And so for me, I'm telling you, he's having a good season. It wasn't just this game. He's been playing really well. But I like how with Gates, he can help block a little bit in the run. And then for Phillip, he's the go-to guy. Yo, Antonio Gates is my guy. Watch him for the rest of the season and fantasy. Start him every week.
Okay. So my guy, there are very few people that have, you know, cookies or bars named after them. Reggie had the Reggie bar.
Yep.
But if this kid keeps playing, there were some cookies back in the days. So Ray and Tay used to get into some Entenmann's cookies. That was our favorite. We'd finish a whole box of Entenmann's cookies. We'd run to the store and get some Entenmann's. But there was another set of cookies that I liked, and they were called Famous Amos. And if you don't know about some Famous Amos, those are good. Ooh. Those are hard, right? The Entenmann's were soft. So we got a cat. His name is Jameis. And Famous Jameis, if he keeps playing like this, he's a redshirt freshman, so a la Johnny Manziel last year. The kid looks to be the real deal. He was highly, highly recruited out of high school and ended up picking Florida State, resurrecting the program. They're 4-0. He beat Boston College almost single-handedly, right? they were in a little bit of a shootout there against BC, right? Nobody thought that
BC gave them a rough game. BC gave them a rough game.
48-34. But the kid was 17 for 27 for 330, four touchdowns, one interception, and he got 67 yards on the ground to boot on 14 carries. So this kid is a redshirt freshman, 4-0, famous Jameis Winston. Keep your eye on him and the Florida State Seminoles for the next.
Going down next week, baby.
Yes. Well, Maryland, Florida State. We'll have to talk about that on Friday. But in any event, famous Jameis is doing his thing, and he's that's my guy.
That's your guy. So, look, we got to wrap it up, and we end with the future. And I think the future could be with both these franchises. Right now, the Buffalo Bills have E.J. Manuel from that Florida State program. They're looking pretty good. Jackson played good. Spiller, a little banged up, but he came back and ran for like 77 yards. You got Stevie Johnson and Robert Woods, who's Manuel's, that might be the fantasy pickup is Robert Woods. You need another receiver because it looks like Manuel to Woods from USC is doing something.
I have Stevie
and the
Johnson,
Bills,
so you know I'm upset about that.
Yeah, I know. I got Stevie, and he's on my bench in a couple leagues. So the Bills at the Cleveland Browns. And the Browns' future, well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? They're 2-0 since they traded Trent Richardson. And Mike Lombardi, who was at the NFL Network and before that was the GM and president, now back over to the Browns, I think he knows what he's doing. And I think Cleveland could be proud. I think Hoyer is campaigning to say, let me be your quarterback. I don't know if Brandon Wheaton gets back on the field. He's starting Thursday night, Hoyer. So give him credit. But, from whether it's Josh Gordon or McGahee starting to warm up and might be,
Cameron
might be a player to start this week in fantasy. I'm going to go ahead and say, the Browns keep it rolling. The Browns and the Indians keep Cleveland, the city, rocking. The Cavs are going to be great this year, too. I say the Browns win a tough fight Thursday night, NFL Network, Deion Rich Eisen and the boys, 23-20. The Cleveland Browns beat the Buffalo Bills at home in the dog pound.
Wow. Okay, well, here's my thing. First of all, I'm completely shocked that both of these teams are 2-2.
It's amazing.
Add to that one of these teams is going to be 3-2 when they emerge on late Thursday night. So you're going to have one of these teams have a winning record. Now, I think that each of these teams has some interesting pieces, but they're still majorly flawed teams. Having said that, I'm utterly blown away by Cleveland and their ability to win two games after trading away their best player. Everybody thought that they would be depressed and that it would affect the team and team morale, but it didn't. So kudos to Cleveland and kudos to them pulling it behind them. I do think, though, that after winning two in a row, I don't think they're that good of a team that they're going to win three in a row. And I think that Buffalo, even though they're banged up, I think they're going to go in there and sneaky explosive. And a couple of big plays from C.J. Spiller or Fred Jackson, and then maybe one of the receivers, maybe it's Woods, maybe it's Stevie Johnson, if he's okay.
You hope.
They score just enough to beat them, and I think they win a pretty close game. I'll say something like 20-17. Buffalo Bills go into Cleveland and win and go to 3-2 on the season.
Okay. You know what? I can't argue with that. I can see it happening that way too, but more importantly, it's based on Ray's fantasy team. He's rooting for Stevie Johnson,
not,
ladies and gentlemen.
Not actually. I'm sitting with Stevie Johnson.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Stevie's got to prove it.
Another great show. And listen, for those fantasy people, man, next week, we'll give you the fantasy. But in that game, who would you play in fantasy? Maybe Spiller. Jordan Cameron's a must-start every week. Maybe
Gordon
play Josh
Gordon. Yeah, Gordon's a must-start. I think that ultimately your big question is Stevie Johnson or Woods? I mean, you got to figure.
Woods is going to get picked up a lot this week. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's not. He doesn't have great speed, but he's just a professional. He's just he reminds me a lot of Steve Smith, the giant Steve Smith. You know,
yes.
Not very, physically imposing, but he's just a good receiver. He's just even at USC, Marquise Lee was getting all the pub, but this kid Woods had a great career. So he's a very solid young receiver.
All right. Well, listen, everybody, thanks for listening. Watch the playoffs, the play-in game, and Monday Night Football. Ray and Tate today. We are out. Thanks for talking sports with friends.
See you on Friday.
He'll deliver more justice in a weekend than 10 years of your courts and tribunals. Just stay out of his way.
G-Money, where you at?
He's about to paint his masterpiece.
Red one, track is crazy. Yo, I thank God, my mom, my dad, my sisters, my brothers, my family, my true friends. Yo.